1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station. We normally reserve this music for Leo Martinozzi, but we'll reserve it now for Mr. Greg Chandler, who handles the...
Yeah, what's with the Detroit Rock City music there, Gary?
Let's put it this way. The boss says play that music, we play that music.
Yeah.
Anyway, Greg, as we mentioned before, handles the games, and you heard just moments ago about the Holland game of the week, and it was the Derby game for the footy purists, Holland Christian handled adroitly by the Maroons over the Dutch, and some hard feelings at your game.
It got interesting at the end of the game. Well, if you didn't listen to the broadcast or didn't watch the game, we're going to have the game Friday night.
Oh, by the way, the podcast, I think, should be on our website at WHTC.com.
It was late in the ball game. Holland Christian had the game well in hand. They had the football. They had their second unit out there.
At least they can have second units. I'm used to teams not having second units.
Right. Holland Christian had lifted their starting quarterback, Caleb Vanderlucht, who had, by the way, tied the school record with for touchdown passes in a game was six.
Mm-hmm.
But Holland Christian took it down the field, and they scored a touchdown with about a minute to go in the game to make the final 56-21. And shortly after the touchdown, the Holland coach, Andrew Prattley, came out, I would say, probably about a third of the way onto the field. And I didn't get a real good look at it, but it looked like he and Jim Caserta, the Holland Christian coach, were exchanging less than pleasantries, so to speak.
Appropriate way of putting it.
Yeah, and then there was after the game, there was a continued conversation out at the 50-yard line between the two coaches. And, I don't know what was said, so it would be speculation on my part, but I think there may be some hard feelings from that end of that game.
Let me get your reaction to a story that went over the wires last week about ill will at the end of games. The Kentucky High School Athletic Association initially put out a alert to its member schools and then retracted it or backed off a little bit, saying no more post-game handshakes because there's been too many fights over the last few years in that state.
That's it. I saw that story, Gary, and find it kind of sad, actually, that a statewide association would consider that type of action, but obviously there had to have been some reason for them to consider it. I'm not aware that there's been similar things that have happened in Michigan, although I'm sure there have been several incidences.
The most notable, in my profanes, was a game up in Muskegon. When I was on the other side of the state, this was the mid-1990s.
Okay.
And the station I was at did the Saginaw Valley Athletic Association Game of the Week because we had stations in Flint and Saginaw. So we covered Flint Central and Flint Northwestern and Arthur
Saginaw
Hill,
High.
Saginaw High and all that. Also Flint Northern, whose quarterback was Mateen Cleaves.
Okay, sure.
And they had a game the Vikings had in Muskegon against the Big Reds.
Okay.
And there was a fight after the game.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it has happened in the past.
Well, I'm dating back to my own personal experience. I have the distinction of graduating from the high school that just last week ended the longest losing streak in Michigan high school football history, Lincoln Park, 66 straight games. But when I was a student at Lincoln Park, We had a very bitter rivalry with Dearborn Fortson, the Tractors, one of the top high school programs year in and year out in the state, and we couldn't stand them, and they couldn't stand us. And our senior year, we played them for our homecoming, and they beat us. They went on and were undefeated that year. And we had a fight break out at the end of the game, and it was ugly. And it was just, and we had fans pouring out onto the field, and it was just awful.
Fortunately, on this side of the state, in the Lakeshore area, they've been pretty civil.
I think that's a tribute at so many levels. I think to the coaches, I think they have the right perspective. The athletic directors, I mean, they've got a handle on what goes on there. So I think I think there's less likely of that sort of thing happen. I mean, you know, there was the incident Friday night. Fortunately, it was, you know, it didn't turn out to be anything more than maybe just words and maybe some, certain glances, I guess, so to speak. But fortunately, it didn't grow into anything more than that. And I think the coaches, by and large, in this area have the right idea about high school athletics and, you know, the role in it in educationally. And it's just a game.
1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station, 17 minutes before 9 o'clock, 8:43 is the time. You're on WHTC in the morning for this Monday, October 14th. I'm Gary Stevens, 37 degrees in Holland. I'm joined by Greg Chandler, who handles our play-by-play for high school football and basketball on 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com. And we're talking high school sports right now. And, Greg, we have right now two teams that have already locked up their berths
right
for the postseason. Zeeland West has already locked it up. They picked up their sixth win of the season on Friday night. And the Saugatuck Indians also have punched their ticket in with their win over Fenville on Friday night as well. Zeeland East, I thought, was going to have a little bit of problems because I thought that they were going to be scuffling a little bit after basically allowing Mona Shores to get its first ever playoff bid this past Friday night. But I think the Chicks, if they can survive Muskegon, they might be able to get in.
Well, they only need one more win, Gary. And they started the year 5-0. They've had some injuries, most notably Spencer Veeney, their outstanding running back and linebacker, has not been able to play the last several weeks because of a knee injury. That has hurt them. But this is their first year, I think, this is their second year in the OK Black, and the OK Black is loaded this year. You got Muskegon, who they have not played yet. 2 weeks ago, they played Reese Puffer at home and got hammered. Last week, it was
Mona Shores.
Mona Shores, and Mona Shores has really come on. Mona Shores was a weak sister for so many years in high school football, and they're in. And it's been a long time since the Sailors have been in the playoffs, and they are in a very tough league. But I think the Chicks should – they still have one more OK Black opponent to play in addition to Muskegon. They should be able to get that sixth win and get into the playoffs.
Kenowa Hills, I think, is the
last one. I think Kenowa Hills is the other team they haven't played yet. But, they should still be able to get in. West Ottawa could be a little more dicey. They suffered their third loss against East Kentwood Friday night,
which is a game they shouldn't – that was the game they needed to win because
– right.
They were playing with house money with their win earlier. They should have beaten Rockford, and that would have really been given.
That was the game they really needed, and if you were at that game or listened to it, it was a game that it was in West Ottawa's reach to win that ball game. The special teams killed them. That by and large that killed them. Their defense was terrific that night. They've got a good quarterback and receiver combination with Jarrett McNitt to Alex Zimmerman, but they're fighting it right now. They still have to play.
They're Granville this week.
Granville, which they should win that game. They should win that game, but they still have to play, I think, Hudsonville, and that might be a tougher out for them.
And be honest with you, outside of East, who should be able to split at least one of the two. The Ducks and the Indians might be the only ones along the Lakeshore getting in after we had five teams last year.
Well, Howland Christian isn't out of it yet either. They've won four straight after an 0-3 start. Their key game is they play Byron Center this week. Byron Center is tied with Zeeland West in the OK Green. They'll be an underdog in that ball game, but the Maroons have got it going offensively right now. I think the key for them is can their defense stop Byron Center, because Caleb Vanderluck and Kyle Stegenga have got something going right now. Last week, Vanderluck threw six touchdown passes. The last Holland Christian quarterback to throw six TD passes in a game was a guy named A.J. Westendorf. You might have heard of him.
Yeah, he's a linebacker now at Central Michigan.
Yeah, plays special teams and all that. But Kyle Stegenga is 6'5", and he's kind of like the Calvin Johnson version. He's 6'5", and he's so tall, and he can jump, and he made about five or six catches last week against Holland where he just went straight up in among two or three defenders and just took the ball and made a big play out of it. He ended up with close to 200 receiving yards and four touchdowns.
Greg Chandler will be at Hamilton High School this Friday night for the game between the Hawkeyes and the Unity Christian Crusaders, 6:40 broadcast time on 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com. I'll be at Jarvis Memorial Field in Saugatuck for the Indians' home finale against the Bangor Vikings. That'll be on our FM station 92.7 The Van and 92.7TheVan.com, also at 6:40 p.m. Greg, thanks for stopping in this morning.
Hey, thanks, Gary.